Jesus is in many ways training the guys that he's going to leave the ministry with. Just kind of bring them back to that thought. Hey, guys, he tries to say, I'm going to be gone, but they're not getting it. And so there's many times he just say, hey, watch this, see this, remember this. And I always love the idea that, as we begin, we've got the staff meeting in chapter 17 that Jesus has with Moses and Elijah. And, of course, the guys that are there, Peter, he's there. Peter wasn't next to the teacher because he was an A student. How many of you have taught? When you take field trips, the kids next to you are usually not the kids. They're the ones that have to be there. So if it were today, it'd be Tommy Ice. Don Perkins would be there. They'd be right next to his gown just so that they would not miss some things. But if I could just spend some time just helping us this morning to get our minds, focused for the rest of the day, that if the Lord does not tarry, we're fine. But if he does for another year, how can we continue to stay focused together? Amen? So let's begin just by looking at this. And again, this is a flyover. We're not going to spend a lot of time here. We're going to start here, and we're going to go towards the Mount of Transfiguration. We're not going to make it there. But we begin in chapter 17. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And we know, of course, that Luke tells us that basically the staff meeting was all about his exodus, planning for that, preparing for that, knowing that there's a transition coming. And I would say for us this morning, there's a transition coming. Amen. Amen. We have the rapture, and then, of course, we have the second coming. And so here they're having this moment, and I would just remind us as leaders, there's an exodus coming. This is not it. This is a part of the plan, but let's be mindful of that. And so as we begin to serve the Lord, as we go forward together, we can glean so much from his last journey from Banyas all the way down to Jerusalem. And so he begins by sharing with Moses and Elijah the plan, the program, reminding of that. But also, the leaders were there. And a lot of what our leaders were taught in the scripture were basically parroted. They just didn't go to a seminar. They just were hanging out with Jesus. And what he did, they learned to do that. And may we do the same also. I am so thankful for these, what I call microscope weeks, that we can just dive in and spend time. And I'm so thankful for the men and the women that are serious students that God calls you to really dig deep. It helps us. It helps us that don't have those giftings, and we share them. And then we repeat what you taught us like we originally came up with it. So thank you for that. And so we'll continue to do that. But they move from basically this wonderful staff meeting together. And here's Peter listening to all this. And Jesus, again, he begins to stay with them. There really is a focus where we're heading. We're going to Jerusalem for a final time for a really beautiful time in history. And so they're preparing for that. And as they begin to make their way, of course, we know that as they begin to travel, they make their way from the Mount of Transfiguration. And as they're making their way down, they come across a situation. They meet up with the other boys where there's a multitude gathering. And they're gathering because of some frustrating things happening. There's a demonic activity. And some of the guys weren't sure how to handle that. And then we have this father that's just really torn apart, as you would be, by what's happening there. And I love how Jesus shows up, again, flying over this. Basically, he's taking this opportunity to remind his men, but also those there, how important prayer is in these last days. How important our faith, not faith in faith, but faith in Jesus Christ is during these last days. Because there's so many things that are set up by our enemy to distract us if he can't destroy us. And so we remind it again. Let's walk out of here as men and women of incredible faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? And so they begin to have this moment. But concerning that moment, they're looking at all this. And again, Jesus comes back again several times in this journey we're taking this morning. Verse 22 of chapter 17. Now, they left the Mount of Transfiguration. They're making their way south slowly. Now, while they were staying in the Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And the third day he'll be raised up." And yet, instead of embracing, they were sorrowful. They kind of got it, but it wasn't quite there yet. What I love about our section we're looking at, Jesus will remind us several times, don't forget about the main mission. Don't forget about the bigger picture. And so they begin to make their way from there, and then they continue on. Verse 24, again, I'm telling you, it's a flyby. It's going to be a jet, okay? Verse 24, and when they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, well, does your teacher not pay the temple tax? And may I just suggest here, we live in America. I live in California. I've had several of you say, I'm sorry, I love being in California. Let me tell you why. That's where Jesus Christ has called me and my wife. I want to tell you something. We got a great harvest ahead of us. Do I enjoy listening to our governor talk for 45 minutes and say absolutely nothing? No, not at all. But this is the assignment God has for me and our wife. Therefore, we embrace it. We embrace the people. We embrace the challenges. We pay so many taxes. You guess what? It's not my money. Say, Lord, we need some more of your money. But be careful also as you take the journey. Be involved in political things. You know, when people were registering for vote before online, we had registration all the time at our church. And I get up after every election, and I try and say this politely, but I say, if you did not vote, shut up. If you didn't vote, I don't want to hear from you. But the point is, I don't camp there. We just keep moving. And so I think the Lord's warning us, you're going to have to deal with some issues while you're here. Be encouraged by that. Pay the temple tax. Watch me provide. Continuing on, look, if you will, drop down to verse 24. Okay, so again, they're dealing with the temple tax. But then we come to chapter 18. Again, the mindset is Jesus is on the journey. He's got the boys with him, all right, the men with him. He's giving them leadership insights, I think, that are applicable to every one of us here. Because you're all called to be a leader. Can I just say this? I want to tell you something. The Lord loves leaders. Look to your neighbor. Say, the Lord loves you. You're a leader. Tell him that right now. Go ahead. Be bold. Coffee, breath, and all. But don't stop there. Now listen to this. The Lord loves leaders, but his heart is for seed. His heart is for seed. 10% of the scriptures deal with seed. God has a heart for seed. Let's never forget that. And so as they're moving towards this time, he's like, hey, you're going to have to deal with temple tax. You're going to have to deal with the government. This is where I have you, your assignment. Just go for it. Trust me. I'll provide a fish if you need it. It'll be okay. Hang in there. Well, coming to chapter 18, he has some other things to deal with us as leaders. I'm talking to everyone in us. He says, and at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, well, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Stop right there. Humility. We should be the most humble people on the planet. Yes, God has given you an assignment. Yes, you are to promote what the Holy Spirit has put in your heart, whether it's in print, whether it's speaking. But let's not lose our humility, gang. I think that turns so many people away from Jesus Christ. Whatever we have, God has placed it in us. Be a good steward. Be confident. But stay humble with what the Lord has given you. You know, my wife and I have been blessed to be in our church for many, many years. We're not the founding pastors. We took over that. And we're in a smaller area, so we're kind of a big fish in a small pond. And we've been there long enough where, and you've been like this too, you know, there's probably about 600 people in our community that go from church to church to church, you know, whoever has the newest building program. And we've been the flavor of the month. I've experienced that. And isn't it fun to get past that when the ice cream melts and you can go back just serving Jesus? And so I get all that, but walk in humility, steward what God has given you, and give him all the glory. And so Jesus reminds these guys, hey, listen, be careful. Be careful. Walk in humility. Continuing on, he continues on in verse 6. He says, listen, chapter 18, verse 6. He says, and whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it'd be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the offense. Gang, there's going to be scandals. May you not be the center of the scandal. Walk in humility. Don't back away from the fray. If it's appropriate, you jump in. But may we not be the ones that trip people up. May we allow them to have the freedom to walk the journey that Jesus has for them. And so he talks to them about scandals that are ahead of them. I love verse 10. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. Be careful, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. By the way, back to the mission, verse 11. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. I'll say it again. Jesus has a heart for seed. He has a heart for seed. Continuing on, after again stating the main mission, we come to verse 12 in Matthew chapter 18. And we see here just a wonderful journey as he continues on just to share about his heart. But in these next several verses, what's he talking about through verse 14? The love for sheep. Do you love the sheep? You don't have to like them, but do you love the sheep? Hey, can I give a word of caution for some of you that God has given you great favor? Do people know you're shepherds because they smell the sheep on you? You got to stay close. You got to stay connected. Yes, you have responsibilities, but if he's called you to it, don't forget the sheep. Love the sheep continually. Well, continuing on, he goes on, and part of I love it, he talks about, because it's hard to love sheep. You know why? Because they're not very forgiving. But what does he talk about beginning in verse 15 of chapter 18? Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained your brother. Gang, the power of forgiveness has not weakened. We still need to be forgiving, and we still need to be forgiven. And I love how Jesus, again, reminding us as leaders, these are things that we need to continue to walk together in as God anoints us to lead. So he talks about the power of forgiveness and deals with all that. Then, as he talks about this forgiveness, we come to the next chapter. I love this. As we come to chapter 19, again, we're flying if you just walked in. Get ready. Chapter 19, it came to pass when Jesus had finished these sayings that he departed from the Galilee, and now he comes to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. He's coming out of Perea. He's making his way down. He's going to camp out on the other side of the Jordan River. Before he crosses over Bethabara, which God did many great things there at that crossing. And so he's just hanging out there. And we're getting close to where we're going to land here, trust me. And so while he's there, what's the topic of this particular, for his leaders? Let's talk also about our marriages. Let's talk about the tragedy of divorce. Again, I'm talking to us as leaders. You're saying, well, I'm not a leader. Yes, you are. You're here. How's your marriage? Is it significant? Is it important? The enemy's going to attack us there also, gang. But continue to trust him. Love him. Don't become so busy about his business that you forgot about that business that God gave you. My wife told me what to wear this morning. I'm so happy that how's it look? You can thank her if I look okay. All right. The point is, we're in this together. And Jesus says, listen, guys, guard your marriage also in leadership as you continue to serve me. And then we come real close to landing, but I love this. In chapter 19, turn with me to verse 16. Sometimes these passages are so familiar we miss some things. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And of course, what's the conversation? Again, here's this man trying to figure out, how in the world can I find my way to God? Is it through legalism? Is it through work? What do I do? And again, can I just work my way through this? And so Jesus has this encouraging conversation, I believe, with this gentleman. Remember, he hasn't crossed over the Jordan yet. He hasn't come to Jericho to hang out before that great journey north. He has this wonderful conversation, but don't forget this. This is why I want to share this conversation. Who was there? Peter was there. Peter was listening. Again, Jesus parroting his discipleship ways of doing things. And Peter is there, and Peter's listening to all of this. And then we come, if you will, turn to verse 27 in chapter 19. This is powerful. I want you to consider what's just happened, this wonderful conversation, this powerful conversation. I think we often say this is the only man that came to Jesus with a problem and left worse off. And so here is Peter. Now, as you were last night, this guy has seen amazing things. He's walked on water. He's seen these miracles. He's been with Jesus for almost 3.5 years, and yet, after this one conversation, he gets totally distracted. Look at what he says in verse 27. Listen to this conversation. That rich young ruler takes off. Then Peter answered to him, see, we've left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? Peter gives me great encouragement. Anybody here a numbskull? Teach it on Sunday, forget it on Monday. And yet God hasn't given up on us. God hasn't given up on you. But I love the honesty of Peter. We can be so strong on this platform and so weak when we're off the platform. And God hasn't given up on us, gang. And so what does Jesus do? I love this. He says, hey, listen, Pete, there's some great things ahead of you. And then, this is where I wanted to spend a few moments this morning. Then we come to one of the most well-known parables concerning leaders in the New Testament. As he begins to illustrate this, don't disconnect the end of chapter 19 with chapter 20. It's a continuation of the conversation. Peter's saying, where do we go? What's our direction? What do we do? And the Father, through his Son, gives us a wonderful illustration. And this is what it's all about. Yes, he loves leaders, but his heart is for the seed. By the way, I think this is interesting in that this particular parable is just taught in the Gospel of Matthew. Who's the main audience of Matthew? Jews? This is something that could really trip them up. Let me just read through it slowly. That's one thing I will say. I will read this slowly. I haven't so far. A lot of caffeine, but it's been good. For the kingdom of heaven. Remember, he's talking to Peter. What are we going to do? For the kingdom of heaven is like the landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Can I tell you again? Our Father has a heart for seed. It's his vineyard. What's in the vineyard? Seed. Now, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And of course, we see right here that our God is just. Amen. He knows just what we need. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idly in the marketplace. By the way, did you notice something? It's not one person, there's a group. We are in this together. Listen, the world knows that, right? The Lone Ranger had who? Abbott had who? Beavis had who? How do you know that? My point is, we are not in this alone. We are in this together. We starve together, we serve together, okay? And so he went out about the third hour, and others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you. So they went, and again he went out about the sixth hour, the ninth hour, and likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle. You know, we often criticize these folks, but God's not criticizing these folks. I think in many ways, I'm an 11th hour part of this group. I haven't been here since the beginning, but I'm thankful that I'm here. And so, why have you been standing here idle? And they said to him, because no one's hired us. And he said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive. So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers, give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. Oftentimes when I'm at a pastor's conference, I'll have, you know, several pastors standing up here and just kind of illustrate it out, watching their facial visuals, and have the first hour guy standing here, the second all the way down, and then just see the excitement of the 11th hour guy going, this is amazing, I received this. And in the reality, he wouldn't admit it, but if he's receiving this, that first guy's thinking, whoa, if he's getting what I got, imagine what I'm going to get. And of course, by the time you get to the end, this guy is not just discouraged, he's disgusted with the Lord, actually. And so we look at this, and can we just pause for just a moment? And being an 11th hour guy, thank you for letting me be here. Thank you for loving on me. But you know what? What was it like for that guy all day? As the groups were being called out, you come, you come. Imagine what he's thinking all day long, waiting. Maybe having thoughts like this. I don't know if I can go home tonight. I don't know if I can go back home and tell my wife or tell my kids we're moving. I think it was a long day for that person. I'm so thankful for God's grace. The reason I share this morning is it was kind of an odd Saturday in that I had two memorial services on the same day. What was interesting about that is both the men died of prostate cancer. Get a checkup, guys. They both died. One had served in our church for 40 years. I would call him a first-hour laborer. The second man that died was actually my friend's dad, who was a pastor. And for the last 40 years, he did not love God. He was actually pretty angry with his son. We live in an area there's a lot of ranching, and I don't have palm trees. We have pine trees where we live. And so they had had a family ranch for 180 years. He was the only son. And his father was not happy that he chose to go into the ministry instead of carrying on 180 years of tradition. His father would never come to the church. None of that. The night before his father died, his wife was taking her watch to be with Dad. And she again shared Jesus Christ. And he said, yes. He said, yeah. You can't get much more 11th hour than that. He said, yes. So here I am going to his service. And I'm going to come back to that in a second. And then going to this. Both of these men, guess what? They're at the feet of Jesus. One crown's heavier than the other. But that doesn't matter at this point. One of the things that really drew me to this passage, driving home after hearing this service, is in that particular area, we grow a lot of what's called Timothy grass. I'm not a horse person, but I guess it's some of the most high-bred grass in all of the nation. And so I didn't know this. Disney buys all their hay from our area for their Santa Anita racetrack. If you know about that, shame on you. But anyways, they all come to, it's the high-bred grass. And it's amazing. I didn't know this. And so, but there was something that they said that I couldn't get out of my brain. They said, you know, when it was harvest time, we worked 24/7. Because there was a day when we shut the tractors down and we were done. I don't know how they picked that day. But listen to the story. When the tractors were done, we're done. In this case, they would burn the fields. Good morning. Jesus is paying these laborers because he loves them. But why did he hire more and more labor? Is it because he just loves having laborers? Yeah. But gang, why are we here? Because there's coming a day when the harvest season is done and everything left will burn. I'm not an evangelist. I'm evangelical. But I want to tell you something. I'm here because I want to know more. Because there's coming a day when the owner of the vineyard is going to say, we're done. And may we not forget that, gang. May we continue forward with passion. May we continue to love the sheep, love our family. Yeah, there's spiritual battles. Yes, that's out there. The governing system that God has called us to be a part of this nation. It's not my tax problem, it's his tax problem. But we get to be a part of his labor force. Whether you're 11th hour or whether you're the first hour, been working hard all day, thank the Lord for that. And so here we are this morning, assembled again. What a blessed day we're going to have. We're going to take out the microscope in just a few moments, but I just want to encourage all of us. Our Father in heaven loves us, but his heart, and by the way, we're seed also, is for seed. So Father, thank you for this beautiful love letter you've given us. Thank you that you care. Thank you that you're concerned. But thank you, Father, ultimately, there is seed that could be burned. And that's tragic. I thank you for our brothers that we'll be sharing later on today. We thank you for those that have forged before us. What a beautiful thing. And we pray now, Father, that your Holy Spirit would have his great liberty in this place, both collectively, but also personally. I thank you, Father, that every single year that I've been here, I've walked away with at least one nugget that has really encouraged me, and I'm thankful for making the journey here. And can we just say again, Father, we love you. Thank you that we can spend a few moments devoting with you this morning as we now open up our microscopes. In Jesus' name I pray, and everybody said, amen. God bless you.